Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he did not know and receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a strange land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. We want to share with you the message this morning from that verse. I want to share with you the message, in search of the promise. In search of the promise. You may be seated. Lord, it is again that we thank you for this day. We thank you for your awesome presence. And we do pray that you'd be with us as we share your message, that, Lord, it might be a time well spent together, gathering around your word to learn more about you and more about the things that you would challenge us to do in our lives. Father, we believe in you, but we want that to be active faith. We don't want it to be a passive faith or faith that is just to get us through. Lord, we need a bold faith, a resilient faith that will lead us to victory in Christ our Lord. So work through your word today. And Lord, help us to become that which we cannot make of ourselves. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the first time, what are you searching for? What are you looking for? We're involved in a search that a lot of times we may think it's just about being successful, owning things, or having the good life. None of those things in and of themselves are wrong, but they can be misleading. They can mislead us. They can mislead us from the standpoint of when we start evaluating our life and we don't see the outcomes or we don't see the things that we've searched for, we can tend to look at ourselves as failing, not reaching those goals. The Hebrew Christians in this time was during the persecution of Rome, where many Jews and many Jewish believers and Christians that came from the Gentile nations, many of them were being persecuted. Rome was in control of everything. And so that presented problems. That presented what I call the Hebrew problem. Because when you look at the book of Hebrews, he's not just writing a book because he feels like he wants to write a book. Notice all scripture has been given by revelation of God. So God is revealing something to them. And they are in a search of faith. Anytime you want to know about faith, you look to the book of Hebrews and it'll tell you about faith. Now, why do they need faith? They need faith because they're facing some situations in their lives that God has brought them to this place. They're in the promised land, but they don't feel the promise. As the young people say, we're not feeling it. We just don't get it. And sometimes in our life, we don't get it. Here it is, the Hebrew people living in the promised land, and the promised land is occupied by Romans. That's a problem. Not only is it occupied, but now they're being persecuted. And this will lead them now, if you're going to survive, hear me out. A lot of you are saying to yourself, I'm just hanging in there. Well, God never called you to play Tarzan. Hang in there. Swing from vine to vine, trying to survive in this thing that we call life. Here's some of the things that they were doing. They were questioning their faith. They were questioning their faith. They believed that Jesus was the one who was the promised Messiah. But now he hasn't showed up. to establish this wonderful kingdom and to build this great place where Abraham's promise would be fulfilled. Now they're questioning their faith. And they're asking themselves, is this thing for real? This was before the destruction of the temple. And so to play it safe, some of them is messianic, or the Jews that believed in Jesus, they're now returning to the old way, and they're not really devoted to Jesus anymore because they're turning back. You'll find it written in the book of Hebrews where it says, if anyone turns back, if anyone turns to a way that is different from what God has given you, God says, my soul has no delight in them. Some of them are questioning their faith. Some of you today, you're questioning your faith. Amen. Why do I believe in God? Why? I mean, look at everybody else. They're doing fine. They don't have to get up and go to church on Sunday. They don't have to put on neckties and hats and all of this attire to go to church. They don't have to do all of that. They're out going to the lake, and here I am Sunday morning in church, questioning the faith. And so what the writer of Hebrews says is, wait a minute. This is what faith is all about. It's not about at every turn or reaching some end of the rainbow. Faith living is to trust God no matter what the circumstance. How many of you are reading through your Bible and following the daily bread, and now you're into the book of Job? Some of you are reading through, and as you get to the book of Job, this guy did everything right. He followed God. And guess what happened? Life hit him sideways. As a matter of fact, it was an attack of Satan. Some of you feel like you're being attacked. You say to yourself, man, what do I do about this? Well, some respond, they're just quiet about their faith. Well, every time I talk about Jesus, I get in trouble. So I'm just going to keep it quiet. I'm just going to be one of those, mm-hmm. Instead of amen, I'll just be, mm-hmm, yeah, whatever. Many of them had gotten to the place where they were not witnessing, they were not testifying of the things that God had done for them. Despite what it said in the Bible, you should be my witnesses. Oh, no, God. Every time I start doing that, it brings problems my way. They had watched as the evil rulers of Rome would actually light up the believers as torches to light up some of the Roman courts. They had watched them being thrown into dungeons. They said, oh, no, you want me to preach and to talk about, oh, how I love Jesus. Wait a minute. I know what that's going to cost me. So I'm just going to keep quiet. I'm going to keep quiet because this thing might hurt me. How many of you have been there? I know I have. Well, I've said to myself, if I speak up, every time I speak up, it gets me into problems. Not only do you question your faith, you're quiet about it. And worse yet, there are a lot of people that will drift. They just drift. When I was growing up, we used to put sticks in the water and we'd float them down the creek because we didn't have a lot of toys. We didn't have all those neat little gadgets and phones and stuff you could play with. We had sticks and boards that you'd put in the creek bed and you'd watch it float. And there are a lot of people in that spiritual creek bed. As they deal with different people, they're just drifting. It's drifting, floating along. And they're abandoning the faith. They're leaving what they have trusted God for because they doubt the promise. You waited so long, haven't seen it yet, doesn't look like it's coming. So just write it off. But remember now, all there is to eternity is not necessarily in this life. Well, what God is preparing you for is more than just what you have here and what you see here. There is this thing called eternity. And so what Hebrews and the writer is telling us in these verses, he said, these all died. They died in the faith. They weren't hanging on. They were hanging on to their faith. Second time, what are you holding on to? What is it that's keeping you? So let's look at it. Why do you have this faith in God? Why? And why do you search for the promise? Why is this faith tied to a promise? And not just to, as some would have it, getting stuff in life. Oh, believe God, he'll make you rich. Believe God, he'll make you prosperous. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Every blessed child of God doesn't have a pocket full of money, but they're still blessed. How many of y'all are still blessed? Don't have everything I want, but I'm still blessed. I'm highly favored because I know the one who brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Things going on in my life, but I'm still blessed. I'm still blessed. What are you searching for? As you look at this and you think about it, Acts 1 and 8 really talks about something that God had planned for the people. And so these Hebrew Christians are now asking the question, is the kingdom going to be restored to Israel or not? That was the one that the disciples asked. Is God going to do this or not? And so Jesus responded, it's not for you to know the times. isn't that something? You got a question and God won't answer it. Job had a question, where is God and why am I going through all this? And you know what? God didn't give him the answer. Why? Because God is the answer. Did you hear that? He is the answer. But notice, he doesn't leave us powerless. And I'll get into this a little bit later. He said, you shall receive power. You don't need to know the times. All you need to know is God has power available to you and me. How's that? So the promise of God involves power, and we'll get into that in just a second. So we look at this, and we think about it. What do I have to do? What is it that I have to do? What is God requiring of me if I'm to search for this promise? Notice I've underlined the word obeyed. Abraham heard God speak. And what do we do on Sundays? We listen and we believe that God is speaking through the scripture, that God is talking to us. And as the preacher expounds, God is speaking to us from the scripture. But the question is not what you hear, is what are you all obeying? What am I obeying? And you get the message one time. I get it five or six times. Because I get it when I hear and when I do the outline. I get it, God speaking. I get it when I go through the manuscript. I get it when I go through and I prepare the manuscript and I read it over and then I proof it. Then we do the PowerPoint. So I get it again. And then while it's being preached, I get it one more time. Man, I have no excuse for not searching for this promise. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out where? He didn't know. And that's where you are today. You know where you are geographically. But do you know your spiritual location? We had a funeral service on yesterday. Barbara Williams passed away suddenly. You say, well, it's not important for me to know where I am spiritually. Her vehicle was traveling down one of the streets in Lynchburg. And all of a sudden, whew, into eternity. Now, she knew the Lord. She believed in God. But you got to know your spiritual destiny. Because it can end just like that. Abraham obeyed. So my challenge to you today You may not understand everything about the Bible. You're in good company, neither do I. But I believe everything that God says in His Word because I know that He cannot lie and He will not fail. Trust Him. Abraham obeyed. Didn't have GPS. Didn't even have an almanac or what is this thing that they use that they you used to have before they came up with GPS. You got this guide or whatever it is that you followed. He didn't have that. All he had was God. All he has was God. And I'm telling you, in life, sometimes the promise is that all you've got is what God says to you. Are you willing to go on that? I can sense in my spirit that some of you are being challenged right now because you've gotten just a little bit comfortable with everything around you. As long as I don't rock the boat, I can just drift the rest of the way. Right? It's not how it works. God is with you on the boat. So let's break this down. What are we searching for? We're searching for God's provisions. The scripture records in Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 35, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. What did they do? They subdued kingdoms. How? Because they were searching. They worked righteousness. How? Because they were searching and they wanted to obtain promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. There's a reference to Daniel there. What do you do when you're in the lion's den? You don't hang in there. You hold on to your faith. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the fire. A reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fiery furnace. They were not the only ones. There were others in fiery furnaces. And sometimes you feel like things are heating up around you. You're in a fiery furnace. But let me tell you something. God is able to join you in the fire and to walk with you through it. They escaped the sword. They gained strength. That's certainly a reference to us. Why are you so weak when your God is so strong? Why are you giving in to the weakness when God promised you, I won't bring you this far to leave you now? It's a search. Because if God doesn't provide, who will? Ah, there's an interesting question. Is anyone else going to provide for me? Yeah, they can. Satan can give you a lot of stuff, but you don't want it. You don't want it. He can give you things and make you these promises and tell. By the way, Satan will give you stuff in advance and you pay later. He'll give you stuff in advance. Go ahead and take it. But you pay later. And you always pay more. And it's always going to cost you what you cannot afford. God makes a promise. And the payment is up front. Because you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Are y'all still with me? What are you searching for? And so we've got to look at this thing of God's provision. When you wake up every day, you're asking God, give us this day our daily bread. But then you also need to search for God's path. Abraham didn't know where he was going. But he said, God, I believe you can take me there. How many of you are willing to make that commitment today? And say, God, I believe that you're going to take me there. I believe that you're going to guide me through these perils of life, through these storms and through these headaches and heartaches. You're going to guide me. You're going to keep me. How many of you believe that? You got to commit to it. Don't jump ship. Some of the believers, as we said in Hebrews, they were turning back. They were turning back because they got weary and they got tired. But God had a path and He wants you to walk it. Amen? But then we see also that the search involves God's power. You cannot do it with your human ability. You must do it relying on God's strength. The disciples had said, Lord, when are you going to make this promise come true? And when are you going to bring about this king? Not for you to know the times, but you shall receive power. Notice he says, this is the promise of the Father. This is the Father's promise to you, your Father in heaven. When you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, give us this day," one of the things that God puts on the menu is His power. His power. How's that going to come about, preacher? Through the Holy Spirit. When you become a believer in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. I don't know how it's done. I just know it's real. It's real and it's good. How many of you know it's real and it's good? Because of His mercy, you shall receive power from God. So we got to seek it. We got to ask for it. We got to search for it. Don't just assume that you can Google it or you can search the World Wide Web. No, how do you search God? You get on your knees and you cry out to God, "Lord, I need your power. I need your presence." And God will guide you with His own eye. So the question that we have to answer in life, when we don't know the how, when we don't know the when we don't know the what, we do know what? The who. As long as you know the who, you're not worried about anything else. You don't worry about how it's going to happen. Just know the who. How many of you have gotten there so far? Amen. You've actually to a place in your life where you now recognize, well, I don't know how He's going to do it. Let me tell you the way my grandma said, "He may not come when you want," thank you, "but He's always on time." They had a good theology. A lot of people have this bad theology. I'm going to get it now and I'm going to get what I want. Neither is true. But you will be able to know that God is with you. So as we continue this search, it involves not your plan, not my plan. One of the worst things that we can do as believers in churches is to think it's our church. No, you're with other believers in the church. Well, it really belongs to God. Amen. I pay my money, but He paid His blood. Amen. And so you got to recognize that if this thing is really going to work, and one of, I think that's probably kept down a lot of arguments that we have here at Crossroads, because we know who owns it all. Amen? We believe that what's right is right. And it's God's way. But notice, He has a path. Abraham was in the land of promise. In the land of promise. Isaac was in the land of promise. Well, get this. They didn't build houses. They lived in tents. They'd pick up the tent. They'd move to another place. Now, if you know it's your land, you can do whatever you want to with it, right? But that's not what Abraham was searching for. He wasn't looking for a piece of land or dirt that he could say, "I own the title to it. Now I got it. I own it." Abraham was looking for a city. He said, "Now, if God promised this to me, somewhere around here, there has to be a place where God's going to reveal Himself. Let me find that city." So he pitched his tent here and then couldn't find it there. So he pitched his tent somewhere else, couldn't find it. So he kept searching until one day Abraham died, but he died still looking for it. Are you still looking for it? "Well, I'm old now, preacher. I haven't got it yet. I doubt if I'm..." Wait a minute. God didn't necessarily say you'd find it on this side. The search begins on this side. I'm going to tell you a little bit later in the verse where those who died in faith, remember I gave a reference to that? Having not received the promise, but they kept searching and they saw it far off. It's interesting, when you get to close to heaven, you can see it. Stephen saw it while he was dying. He looked up, he said, "I see Jesus. I see Him. I behold Him." Abraham and all of the other believers, they looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Can I tell you about it? When you look, I'm going to tell you anyway. When you look for this city, when you look for it, when you really search for it, as David would later on say in Psalms, it's an eternal kingdom. It's everlasting. And it took 42 generations for it to be really established until finally, not land, but the Maker Himself the Maker himself, showed up in Palestine, this Jesus of Nazareth. And isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic that he was called the carpenter? The carpenter from Galilee. The carpenter. That's because he's the maker. And not only is he the maker and builder, but he's the finisher, the one who completes your faith and my faith. Let me rush right on. So where's the proof? The proof is your faith. Some of you this morning, despite how bad things have gotten in your life, you're still living by faith. You're still walking this journey, still trusting God, still recognizing that you're the same as this verse says, you're a stranger in a promised land. You're a stranger with a promise. And you feel like, man, this world is not my home. As a matter of fact, one of the hymns that we often sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And if heaven is not my home, then what shall I do? But we know that we are heaven bound. How many of y'all are heaven bound? Amen. So when you look at this, you look at your journey of faith, you start recognizing that these all died in faith. And later on, that verse will say that they could not receive the promise without us. They were before. And while Christ was living, but now here we are, generations later, they couldn't get there without us. God wanted to include us, so he left the door open. He left the door open so that anyone walking by faith, anyone living by faith, that is your journey. That's how you get to the promise. And that's the proof that God is with you. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through this land. The proof then is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of God Almighty. I thought about something that was interesting. The story is told about the Model T Ford. Way before your time and my time, but during the Model T days, this man had broken down on the side of the road, didn't know how to get the thing started. And along came this fancy vehicle, also of that type of car, Model T, but a little bit larger and a little bit more shinier. Gentleman gets out in this suit, and he says, "What's the problem?" He said, "I can't get it started. Don't know what I'm going to do." So the guy takes off his tie, or takes off his coat, rolls up his sleeve, and starts working on the vehicle. Later on, he says, "Turn the crank." By the way, they didn't have ignitions in that day. He had a crank. "Turn the crank," and instantly it started up. He looked puzzled. "How did you know how to fix this car?" The gentleman looks at him and says, "Here's my card. I'm Henry Ford. I made this vehicle." No matter what you go through in life, you got somebody who made you.
Amen.
Not only did he make you, he made the day. Amen. And he made you a promise: "I will never leave you nor forsake you." When you get broken down on the side of the road and can't reach your promise, just know that Jesus, the author and finisher, the one who completes our faith, will come to you and get you going again.
Thank you, Lord.
That's Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. You didn't have to confirm this promise with us. You owed us nothing, and yet you gave us everything. The same promise you made to Abraham, you've now confirmed that to us. You said to Abraham, through you and your descendant, your seed, I will bless all the families of the earth. Same promise, same God, same confirmation. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for blessing us. I pray that you'd now use us for your glory, that we might honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many learned something today? Amen. I want to give the invitation, if there be one today, we invite you to come. Perhaps you've never made Christ the Lord of your life. You can do that simply by trusting him. I'm going to ask that we all stand.